Weekday Wake Up on SVI Radio. Heading into this hour's guest interview segment this morning, and a legislative report today from Senator Dan Dockstetter of Afton, Senate District 16. Senator, good morning. Into October now, and legislative work never does slow down, does it? It just keeps on rolling right along.
No, that's what many people don't realize. Just because you're not in session doesn't mean you're at work. In fact, every month I'm either in Cheyenne or Casper or somewhere in Wyoming related to this legislative responsibility, mostly Casper and Cheyenne. That's where we try to hold most of our meetings now. We've got a state office building in Casper. Works as kind of a central gathering place where we come together and try to hold most of our meetings there, because it's already set up for computers, already set up for audio. It's completely set up to go. We're actually looking at doing something similar in Riverton as well, and I've been put on a new subcommittee that will explore the possibilities of doing something like that. Part of the problem is, Duke, when we travel around the state and try to set up in areas where it's not traditionally set up for a legislative meeting, all you have to bring in all the audio equipment, all the visual effects. Wyoming Public TV has to be there to make sure that we can stream everything. It's rather complicated, but if one setting, Casper, Riverton, something central, or Cheyenne, we've already got all the equipment in place, everything ready to go to essentially run a meeting.
Yeah, well, you and I both know how much equipment it takes to do a video broadcast.
So. How many Suburbans have we loaded and unloaded over the years for sports broadcasts?
Absolutely. Well, appreciate your time on this update. What's been taking up the bulk of your attention in the interim here?
Corporations assignment, a lot of election-type bills under consideration, like ballot drop boxes, should we have them or not? Probably we're going to move away from those with time, but also paper ballots, things like that. Corporations has been dealing with multiple bills related to elections. I suspect that will continue as we meet again this next week. Those meetings go long. That's a main committee meeting assignment. And I think we're probably going to see some changes with the elections. We've called upon the county clerks to get more involved across the state, to show up at corporations, and if they have displeasure over something, that's their opportunity to meet with us and say, you know, that's working. Don't fix it. It's not broken, or perhaps we could tweak it. But I think you'll see in this next legislative session a series of smaller bills dealing with smaller topics, maybe something like just as simply as should we have a drop box out in front of the county clerk's office and in front of the courthouse. And the public is saying probably so, but there are some concerns too from those associated in running the elections. Is it secure? Is it safe? And are we running the process in a way that we don't question it later, whether there was a problem with the election count?
What are you hearing from the clerks, the county clerks, when it comes to
those types
of things?
Would like to hear more from them. That's just it. They are coming forth, but I'd like to know just exactly where do they stand. If this is going to cause them a lot of trouble to make these changes in the election process, we need to know. They funnel through one major spokesperson at the meetings, but I think the individual county clerks in all 23 counties should probably step up and don't be afraid to get involved across the state. This will affect the elections for years to come, and if it's going to cause a county clerk's office more problem or work, we need to know up front, and will it cost more money to make these changes in the elections? Everything has a process. It's been working well for a lot of years, but there are a couple of instances that came up where they said, was it done properly in this county? Well, that's what the Corporations Committee has to decide. We got to go back now and reconsider this as we move into the election process, or as we move into the legislative process this winter. I think you may see some changes in the election process.
Senator Dan Dockstetter, Senate District 16 in studio. Dan, I know you spend a lot of time in natural resources and energy. What's been your focus there?
It's my passion. In the meantime, for folks who don't follow it all in South Lincoln County, we do have all of the legislative action has been taken. The money has been reserved to move a road for a coal mine, which would keep people employed and keep a tax base in South Lincoln County. Probably need to hear some more from those folks in South Lincoln County. Is this something they're concerned about? Do they want to keep that coal mine? Everything is in place legislatively. We put that together. We need to hear from those who run the businesses in South Lincoln County. We need to hear from our county commissioners. We need to hear from those who are centered around that whole coal mine and that power plant operation? Is this important enough for them to keep it and to preserve it and to be involved? Everything legislative has been laid out. It's now in their court. But it is a passion of mine, I track it quite heavily. Talking about natural resources too, I've been put on a committee that assigns me to deal with the natural resources of Wyoming at the federal level, and we've been working with the Forest Service, specifically on the west side. We work with all the forests, but we've been working with the state forester as well, Kelly Norris, as we've tried to find a way that we can harvest the product in our forests more often. We've got a great example happening now with Adam Calkins in the south part of the Bridger Teton, where he's saying we can take like these 5-acre segments, start to trim those out, cut those out, and move them on to the mill, process the forest. In other words, clean it up and work on it. I love his approach. I've been working hard on it. Been working with the state forester's office. In my case, it's the Bridger Teton on the west side of the state. Been visiting with Chad Hunson, and I think we can find an angle to get some of this accomplished in certain areas. And Adam Calkins in the Kemmer Ranger District has set an example for us where we can start some of these smaller cuts. They're profitable. At the same time, it helps us to clean up our roads and perhaps clean up some waterways too. It's been a long time coming. For years, we have waited. I go clear back to the days of Jerry Harmon, County Commissioner. He wanted to have this done. He was in the forest industry business. He saw an opportunity to keep the forest maintained. It was hard. We didn't have a listening ear for many years. Now I think we do. And it's time to go to work and get our forest straightened up, cleaned up, and put people back to work and get some cash flow going and use the product. What a concept, huh?
So, and this kind of correlates in sync with the management plan revisions for the service and the Forest Service and their long-term outlooks and the community outreach and everything they're doing. So it sounds like there may be a path in place to have a robust logging industry return to, yes, Lincoln County.
Then. And it doesn't have to happen overnight. It can take these smaller cuts and we can do it now because we have to go back out and find mills that will process it. When we shut the forest down over the years, we lost great mills like in Afton, Du Bois, places like that. But there is an opportunity for some of these smaller mills to be up and functioning, employ people, use the product, and get back in action. I commend District Ranger Adam Calkins on the south end of the forest for stepping up and doing this. We toured this, Representative Scott Heiner and I toured his work a couple of weeks ago. Very impressed with what he's doing. Also related to this are plans to actually kind of clean the forest up for fire prevention as we go. A lot of people don't realize the Willow Creek Fire on the south end, prior to that being burnt, they had gone in and done some preservation work, cleared out some of that forest just on the west side of U.S. Highway 89. So when that forest fire was burning on that Saturday and moving towards 89, first of all, we had a fire break, a natural fire break in U.S. Highway 89. But Calkins and his crew, the forest district ranger, the district ranger Adam Calkins, he had gone in with a small crew and cleared out a lot of that area weeks ahead of time, with the idea that it could be used as a fire break should we ever need it. So that's what slowed that down on that Saturday, not just the highway, but also it slowed it down because he'd gone in with a crew and cleared out a lot of that underbrush. So that, three different things, clearing out that underbrush, the highway, and then doing a fire retardant drop parallel to the highway, that essentially brought that fire to a stop that Saturday night last summer.
Senator, while you're on that topic, I think because you're working so closely with the Forest Service and saw the effects of that fire firsthand, I think I have to ask your comments on what's happened after the Willow Creek fire and the roads and the trails, and you saw some of that firsthand. What's been your take there?
And that was a concern that the crews went in there, and the idea is, while we had crews, as I understand it, was to dig some holes and trenches and fire lines out around there and stop the fire that way. They may have gone too far. They're coming back in now. Well, they did go too far. They're coming back in, filling it back in and fixing it up a little more. They got a little aggressive while they had the equipment in there. And I appreciate the Forest Service cooperating after everybody showed up and said, wait a minute, we went too far. We still got to move cattle out of there. We got to have cattle lines and all of that. And they've come back in and they've rethought how they've done that on the South Willow Creek area. I've suggested, too, at the same time, they maybe rethink that area as they go back in. Rethink that area for recreational use. If they're going to rebuild those roads and those trails, there's an opportunity to allow a little more public access. If there's one thing that we repetitively hear, both here and at the national level, is people want access to their forest.
Legislative report from Senator Dan Dockstad this morning. What else is drawing your attention as you get ready for the session in a few months?
I've got a couple of other committee assignments along the way. I guess the longer you're there, they put you to work in all sorts of niches and places. And one of them is a management audit committee where we go back in, look at some of the work we've done, run an audit on it. Is it doing what it should be? Having committees come in or having agencies come in, review with them. What they've been doing, some of the bills we've done, we go back in and essentially do an audit and say, is the right thing? I've got to slip over to Casper this week and follow up on management audit. Also, I'm select school facilities, so where we're still building schools. It hasn't slowed down. We're still trying to find ways to put schools together or add construction. For example, in Jackson, we've got a project called the Bronx Center. They're growing. And school facilities is looking at that and some other projects across the state. So in addition to my main assignments, I have what I call these niche side assignments that will take a day here and take a day there. You throw a little travel time over to the east side of the state, and maybe it takes 2 days or at least a night time of travel.
Senator, and of course the big topic last couple of years, something I have to ask, is property taxes. Are you satisfied with the direction it has gone, and what changes might you anticipate seeing moving forward?
I think you're going to see a more permanent resolve come into that 25% property tax that we passed. I know it caused a lot of angst and concern with our county commissioners and others across the state saying, well, you didn't, that pulls away our chance to support the infrastructure work across the county. Everybody's going to be okay. 25%, those adjustments can be made. We'd heard enough from people who were paying those increased property taxes that we had to go back in and make that cut. One of the things that you're starting to hear back is people have to show that they've lived in their place for, say, 8 years or so to get that tax. I think we're going to get that resolved and cleaned up a little bit more in this next legislative session. I think you're going to see it, the 25% move in there on a more permanent basis. We have to be very careful to dissolve all the taxes altogether because, yes, we still have infrastructure to do. Some of these smaller counties count on that for their infrastructure work. But it'll be okay. I said that to my county commissioners. It'll be okay. For example, Lincoln County in the last few years went through 112.6% property tax increase. We have to cut those taxes back.
Senator Dan Dockstader, legislative report on the weekday wake up. It's all part of the SVI radio network.